During the 1950s, when Bobby Johns left the swamplands of South Georgia and signed up for the Navy, he filled out the required forms and listed his race as American Indian. The recruiter crossed it out, telling Bobby, "There are no Indians in Georgia." But Bobby Johns has always known who he is.
I was born in 1936, somewhere in the woods of Georgia. I belong to a family of descendants from the Lower Muscogee Creek Indians that once lived in that area. We were of mixed bloods. My father was involved in the turpentine industry, and we lived primarily wherever his work was, which was usually in the swamplands of South Georgia.
Johns is chief of the Perdido Bay Tribe of Creek in Pensacola, Florida, but has never forgotten his South Georgia roots. His grandfather would tell stories of the family's ancestors. They came back to their Georgia homeland after the Trail of Tears by stealing horses and riding from Oklahoma to hideaways in the remote swamps and backwoods of South Georgia.
Then our people had come there in the 1830s and established a way of life, living basically off the land in a region that nobody else cared anything about.
As a boy, Bobby often helped his mother make hominy, from which she would make grits. But unlike their non-Indian neighbors, the Johns also used hominy to make sofki.
It's a mush. I could say you could actually drink it, but it's fine element of corn. It's wet, you know. It's sort of like a thick soup. And if you got hungry, you could at least have a dipper of sofki to keep you between meals and so forth.
At age 6 or 7, Bobby would carve spoons or small paddles his mother used to make hominy. This was his first experience as a woodcarver, a skill he would elevate to an art form as an adult.
I remember I had to make 2 or 3 before I got one she really liked. Then I became her special maker of the hominy spoons and paddles. And then I found that I had to know how long to make it, how wide and all that, and what kind of wood to use. They call it water tupelo. There's no sap in it, no flavor or taste that it would affect what you're using. That wood was good.
These days, Bobby spends time in his backyard workshop making flutes, which he hopes will become a cottage industry for members of his tribe.
Well, first we got to do a little roughing out, bruh.
Not long ago, Bobby purchased power tools with a Florida Individual Artist Grant, but he still has the old hand tools, similar to those he used growing up.
For instance, this, I think a modern name for it is a scorp, but I've made it, as you can see, from scrap metal in a wooden handle, and it's simply made to cut out, like if you're making a bowl or you dig the wood out, and it allows you to make that gouge. For instance, this would be perfect for making a flute with.
Perhaps the most influential person in teaching Bobby how to carve was his clan uncle, Alton Evans, nicknamed Tone.
My clan uncle did more for me, I guess, in teaching me how to make things look nice. They might be utilitarian, but it doesn't hurt to make them look nice. Maybe either carve a flower into something.
Uncle Tone taught the young Bobby far more than wood carving. Traditional Creek society is organized by clan through the maternal line, and the maternal or clan uncle played a very special mentoring role.
I guess if anything that was prominent about our culture, it was that element, because it was so significant that we were matrilineal. My mother's oldest brother assumed a responsibility for me and my well-being. He was everything to me.
When Bobby was 12 years old, his clan uncle took him deep into the Okefenokee for a coming-of-age ritual. The two paddled out to a little island with an old dead tree surrounded by cypress swamp.
He said, "I want you to get out. This is where you're going to stay." And I said, "What am I supposed to do out here?" You know, he says, "Well, first off, I want you to get to know who you are. I want you to know what I know about you. Basically, I want to see if I'm right, that you can basically handle yourself in these kind of situations."
Bobby climbed up into the big tree, having no idea when his clan uncle would return. As the shadows deepened and night fell, the swamp came alive with night creatures. Bobby fought back panic.
I got to looking at all these shadows and everything, and there was a large outcropping of cypress knees that were starting to throw shadows on the water.
The knees are part of the root system of the bald cypress tree, with knobby shapes which protrude above the soil or waterline.
So I started thinking about, well, all those cypress knees out there are my warriors. They're going to protect me, so they're on duty. As long as I can see them, you know, I'm okay. And I picked out my clan uncle out there and big old cypress knee, and I started reflecting on him and what he was probably there telling me, and how really I was in perfect shape.
Late the next day, his clan uncle returned. Without speaking, they paddled home.
And that's the way it went. That's the way it ended. He left it all up to me. And the next day, I started getting more responsibilities.
Bobby gestures to a 3-foot-high cypress knee, which he created 25 years ago. The carved and painted piece tells the story of his clan uncle and that special night spent alone in the swamp, learning to be a man. These days, Bobby carries on his clan uncle's legacy, teaching young people about Creek traditions through outreach of the Perdido Bay Tribe of Creek, and carving objects out of wood that are useful yet beautiful. I'm Lori Summers.